This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for the Summer Hack Pod. We've been bringing you a lot of stories, interviews over the summer period while we've been off the radio, but also, we've got to update you on stuff that is kicking off in the news at the moment before we get back on air on the radio, because there is a lot happening. And this week, so much has been kicking off in Canberra.
Hack.
The federal government's new hate speech and gun laws have passed after a long night of voting in the Senate.
Prime Minister, I ask again, will you apologise?
I'm sorry that this occurred, and it occurred on my watch.
Do you believe those two people should have been allowed to have those guns?
It is not the gun owners of Australia that have done this. It is radical Islam that has done this.
There is much, much more work to be done.
On Triple J.
What is happening here, and how does all of this relate to that terrorist attack we saw in Bondi at the end of last year that killed so many people and has really cast a shadow over the whole country? Let's get into all of this with Hack's political reporter Shalala Medora, who is in Canberra, who is in Parliament House and has been keeping across all of this stuff for the past few days. Shalala, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Dave.
Okay, so Parliament came back early this year. What was that about? Like, why were the politicians back in Canberra this week?
Yeah, so this all starts at the awful Bondi attack that happened last year. At the time, the government was under a lot of pressure to explain, first of all, how something like this could have happened in Australia, but secondly, what it was going to do, what steps it was going to take to make sure that an attack like that never happened again. So the coalition was calling on the government at that point to come back early. We were in the summer break in Parliament then, and they were saying, you really need to address this. You really need to look at the reasons why this was happening. And those sort of reasons fell into two camps, I suppose. There were two tranches of sort of legislation that was being called for. The first was around gun control and around limiting or checking background checks and limiting ownership of guns. And the second was around limiting hate speech. So those two tranches, the government put together into what we call an omnibus bill, which is like, you know, everything just kind of rammed in together. And the government did what the coalition asked, and it came back early. It called Parliament back 2 weeks before it was meant to sit again. That was earlier this week. And it put that omnibus bill together. But the government also quickly realised that that omnibus bill didn't have the support it needed. So just a quick reminder here, Dave, that even though Labor has this massive majority in the House of Representatives, it still needs the support of either the Greens or the Coalition to get stuff through the Senate. So this omnibus bill had two problems. The Greens didn't support the hate speech element of it, and the Coalition didn't support the gun control element. So the government basically decided, okay, we're going to need to split these two into two separate tranches, into two separate bills. And in recalling Parliament, it split those two, focusing first on the gun control aspect, which it knew the Greens would support.
Okay, so basically the government recalled Parliament knowing that it would be able to pass at least these gun control laws. Let's examine those a little more, because there has been quite a bit of chat about what these laws are. Can you explain them a little bit?
Yes, yeah, just explaining why gun control sort of has come back in the forefront. Keeping in mind that one of the accused Bondi shooters had a gun licence and owned a number of weapons. And we also hear so much in the public conversation at the moment about the fact that there are more guns on the streets now than there were in 1996 after the Port Arthur massacre. So there is concern amongst some members of the community about gun ownership. So that's why this is sort of in focus, just to give people a little bit of background about why, you know, that conversation's starting up again. What happened with this particular legislation? There are a few different elements. The first one is what we call a national gun buyback scheme. Essentially, that allows people who have illegal weapons or who potentially bought weapons that are now illegal or now banned to hand those weapons back in. That requires the support of the states and territories, because the Commonwealth, so the federal government and the states and territories, would sort of bear the cost of that buyback scheme. At the moment, we've actually seen even though these laws, national laws passed, a number of states and territories have said, we don't want to be part of this, we can't afford it. So the fate of that gun buyback, even though that these national laws have passed, is still a little bit uncertain. That's the first element. There are a couple of other elements. The other one is around tightening background checks for people who want to have a gun license, and including the buy-in or the sort of the information gathered from intelligence agencies like ASIO to make sure that people who want to have a gun license don't have any red flags against their name. And the last element is limiting the importation of certain classes of weapons. So things like ammunition as well as the actual weapons themselves to make sure that those don't come into Australia. That's a sort of rounded out, I guess, look at the gun control laws. Now, like I said, the Greens supported this element, so it sailed through Parliament pretty quickly. But the Coalition, and in particular the Nationals, who are predominantly representatives of rural and regional Australia, they were really strongly against it. Here's what Nationals leader David Littleproud had to say about those laws.
We have the strongest gun laws in the world here. You just can't go and buy a gun. You actually have to pass a fit and proper person test. You have to wait 28 days. You can't say, I want a 303, a high calibre gun. You have to demonstrate a necessity for it. This is where, unfortunately, this has been more about a political diversion than it has been about the practical reality of what we need to solve, which is radical Islam.
Yeah, that was Nationals leader David Littleproud. And the Nationals have been pretty vocal about all of this this week, and as well gun owners. And we're going to hear more from some of those young Australians who do own guns and have strong opinions on this on Hack next week. So you will be hearing it on this podcast. Shalala, the second part of all this is to do with hate speech laws. Can you explain what they are, and did they pass Parliament?
Yeah, they did eventually, but Dave, I've got to say, not without a whole lot of messiness and confusion, and I'll explain that in a sec. But first, let me explain what these laws are, because they can be really confusing. They come in part from recommendations made by the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism, Jill Siegel. She handed down a report in June last year that said there needs to be more restrictions around hate speech, and the government needs to have more powers when it comes to combating hate speech. The government was under a lot of pressure by the Coalition to act on that report. So that was one of the elements that when the Bondi attack happened, the Coalition really hammered Labor over this particular point. So what has been brought forward now and what has eventually passed Parliament includes giving the Home Affairs Minister greater powers to deport people or cancel visas if they are found to be spreading hatred or inciting violence. It also gives the Home Affairs Minister a chance to ban individuals and ban hate groups, so including groups like neo-Nazis. Essentially, it's limiting the spread of hate speech. But despite these laws passing, even the government acknowledges that the laws themselves didn't go as far as the government wanted, that they weren't as strong as they would have liked. Here's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese speaking to the media shortly after these laws passed Parliament.
No doubt the strongest hate laws that have ever been in place in Australia have now been achieved. That is a good thing. At Bondi, the terrorists had hate in their hearts, but they had guns in their hands. And there's been advances on both.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese there. Shalala, you mentioned that the government has admitted that these laws are not as strong as they would have liked, that they've had to water them down to get them across the line. What had to go? What had to be scrapped in all of these negotiations?
Yeah, in order to get this through with the support of the Coalition, remembering that the Greens were against this from the start, what the government had to drop is essentially what they call racial vilification laws, basically banning hate speech and banning racial hatred. Now, these are some laws that members of the Jewish community have really been calling for, and they've been calling on the government to revisit it even as the Coalition has decided not to support it. But people who are opposed to hate speech laws, and particularly the racial vilification laws and the element of that, have said that there is a real potential with these laws for misuse, for you know, unintended consequences around limiting freedom of speech. They give the example of pro-Palestinian protesters saying that Israel has committed genocide as potentially something that could be swept up in these laws. And this is something that the Greens have really been worried about and have said that this is the reason they don't support these laws. Here's Greens leader, Larissa Waters.
Far from reducing division, this bill will increase division and it will silence legitimate criticism of foreign nations undertaking human rights abuses. This is a very scary bill.
So, Shalala, even though the opposition did in the end agree to support this bill, it has led to some pretty big issues within the coalition, it sounds.
Yeah, it has. So basically what happened was, you know, the government was in negotiation with the coalition from Sunday. The coalition shadow cabinet, that's the people that hold the important portfolios in the coalition, they agreed to a position on Monday or earlier in the week. And essentially what happened when it came down to the crunch of the vote, three members of Shadow Cabinet, all Nationals, voted against the legislation. So they essentially voted against their own party position. It's imploded everything that's happening here today. It's led to a lot of kind of conversation about what this means for unity when it comes to the coalition, whether the Nats and Libs have any future together. It's also really brought into question Susan Lee's leadership, whether she can take these two very different parties and find common ground between them. But what we know for now is that these three shadow cabinet ministers, including Bridget McKenzie, who we've had on the show a fair bit, have offered their resignation, saying, look, we know that we went against cabinet solidarity here and we're offering our resignation. And today, after a leadership meeting, the Liberals, including Susan Lee, decided that she would actually accept those resignations. So they will be on the hunt for three more shadow cabinet ministers off the back of this.
Yeah, it's an incredible couple of days and so much at stake here, so many opinions being debated and a lot of sleepless nights for a lot of politicians. Look, thank you for keeping us across the door. Shalala Madora, Hack political reporter, appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
And remember, you can always subscribe to this podcast if you want updates, if you want to be hearing analysis like that on a regular basis. We've always got it for you on the Hack Pod. We're also going to be back on your radio on Triple J from 5:30 every afternoon from next Tuesday. So make sure you listen in there. Follow us on socials as well, TikTok and Instagram. I'll catch you next time. Hack.